I'm expecting God to move in a great way today here with us. I'm expecting God to move in a great way as we begin our building project and as we open it up before too long. God's plan for accomplishing it, though. Mark 6:34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to Him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But He answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to Him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" He asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to His disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Let's pray. God in heaven, we see here that You have done a great thing. And when You are in it, Lord, nothing is impossible. And Lord, we ask that You move in this place today. Move in our hearts. Find our hearts open and ready to receive Your Word, to receive, Lord, what it is that You want from us, what You want us to do. May we be willing to say, "Let us rise up and build. Let us do what God is leading us to do." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here Jesus drew a large crowd. He was moved with compassion on them and began to teach them. And a very practical problem arose. A practical problem. The people needed food, and they were in an area where there was not any food around. There were no shops, no restaurants. They were isolated. The disciples had to deal with the same kinds of things that we have to deal with. Practical problems and issues. It would be great if all we ever had to do was just teach and preach and people grew. But God has also made practical issues a part of our task as a church. Practical issues. The disciples' pressing need was to feed the crowd. Our pressing need here is to provide the necessary resources and facilities for a church to be able to continue to grow. We have a pressing need. From this story, we see a few steps, a couple of steps that we need to prepare ourselves for a miracle from God. How to prepare ourselves for something only God can do. The first is this, from verse 34. We have to admit, you have to admit that you have a need. You have to come to a place where you admit you have a need. It's that way in all things when it comes to God. When you come to God for salvation, the first thing you have to admit is what? You need to be saved. That's the first step. "God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Will You forgive me? Will You save me?" Likewise, an alcoholic. Before an alcoholic can receive help, what does he first have to do? He has to first admit there is a problem. He has to first get past the denial stage and admit, I need help. I need help. Let's take a look at the disciples' plan. They had a plan. They had a plan. First of all, we see they had a plan of procrastination. You know what procrastination is? Putting off things. Putting it off until tomorrow. Any good procrastinators? Students procrastinate? Yes. In work, you can procrastinate? Absolutely. The disciples' plan was procrastination. They waited until it was already getting very late, and they said, there's a problem. There is a problem. They said to Jesus, it's getting late, and we're beginning to hear people's stomachs, and their stomachs are making noises. Kind of like when it's 11 o'clock, 11:30, and I start hearing the people here, and their stomachs start making noises, saying it's lunchtime, I'm getting hungry. They've probably been hoping that Jesus would do something. Maybe He would take over. Maybe He would suggest something, send them home, and He didn't. And now that the day was spent, they finally decided to approach Jesus with the problem. We read in Luke 9, verse 12, the same story. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to Him and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. So they came, and their suggestion was to send them away. They procrastinated, and then we see their other plan was to pass the buck. Send them away. Let them take care of themselves. The disciples tell Jesus He needs to send the crowd away. They had no responsibilities for a crowd like this. As far as the disciples were concerned, these people were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. They needed to take care of the needs. Basically, they're saying, we'll take care of ourselves, we'll take care of Jesus, but everyone else has to take care of themselves. And the truth is this, that we as a church could have the same mentality, that we just need to take care of ourselves, we can continue like we are, or we can say, we got to do something. We got to do something to provide for our needs, to provide for growth. It would make life a lot easier and safer, but that's not what God is calling us to do. God is in the business of reaching the world with the gospel, not just reaching what we have here and then us sitting back and waiting till Jesus comes again. Amen? God is in the business of reaching the world. Amen? Let's try that again. Guys, I really want you to listen. God is in the business of reaching the world. If you agree with that, let me hear amen. A lot of you agree with that. Praise God. Oh, come on. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, how come I say praise God, you say amen, and well, never mind. Sorry. The disciples had a plan, but let's take a look at Jesus' plan. That starts in verse 37 of Mark 6. Jesus' plan. Notice verse 37. It starts with a single word. What is that word? But. But He answered, you give them something to eat. Jesus' plan was different. And it starts with but. You give them something to eat, He said. In Matthew 14, the same account, it says, they do not need to go away, Jesus said. You give them something to eat. They do not have the problem. This is your problem. It's not them. It's not their responsibility. I am making this your responsibility. Jesus tells the disciples that they can't pass off the responsibility. They need to take it. They must feed the people. They must feed the people. In John chapter 6, it says, "But this he said to test him, to test Andrew, for he himself knew what he would do." At this time, Jesus was testing them. At this time, he was wanting to see their response. Jesus knew what he would do. Do you think, let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus needed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Did he need to have that? Could he have made it out of nothing? I think so. Listen, if he can feed 5,000 men out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, these weren't big loaves of bread, guys. This is one boy's lunch, remember. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. If he could feed that many people, he didn't need them to begin with. But he did this for a purpose, to test them. To test them. He wants to test and see their response. Do they trust Him? Are they believing Him? Are they going to act in faith? And remember, God wants to lead us. God wants to lead you, but He always wants you to take that first step. He always wants you to take that first step of faith and move. He did this to test them. There comes a time when God wants to test us, to see if we are willing to open up our hands to God, give Him what we have in our hands, and say, "God, this is what I have. Can You use this?" It's not good enough just to say, you know, we're not wanting to waste our money. We don't need to do this. It's a waste of our money. We need to just, you know, use it for other good things. Like the guy who buried the money that his master gave him. The master gave money to 3 different guys. 2 of them returned with more than what he gave them. And the one guy said, "Hey, I'm not going to waste my master's money. I'm going to make sure it's safe and secure." And he buried it. The master came back and said, "You wicked servant. Why didn't you use what I gave to you to use?" What was the disciples' response to Jesus' plan? We see in verse 37, they said to Him, "That would take how many months' wages? 8 months. That would take 8 months' wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" The disciples were continually calculating in their minds, how much it's going to take to do something. Remember when the woman came and broke open the alabaster, the perfume on Jesus' feet? What was their first response? "That was a year's wages. A year's salary." And now they're saying that's 8 months' wages of a man's wages to feed this people. Is that what you want, God? How much is 8 months worth? Well, that's almost 3/4 of a year. So take a salary of $60,000, it's going to cost $40,000. No, that's 2/3. Okay, let's take a salary of $80,000. That's going to cost $60,000 to feed this many people. My master is really bad too. It's going to cost too much. They feel that His command is impossible. They had seen the need. There is a need here, but they felt powerless. And instead of waiting for directions from Jesus, they come up with the unworkable problems and say, you know, "We just can't do this, God. We just can't do it." And they want to give up. I read from a theologian, a good theologian named Vance Havner, who said, "Too many times, listen to this, too many times we miss so much because we live on the low level of the natural, the ordinary, and the explainable. We leave no room for God to do the exceeding abundant thing above all that we can ask or think." Too often times we limit God by our own thinking. That happens in our lives, and that can happen in our church. We limit God. The first thing is we have to see and admit that we have a need. But second is this, and this is critical. This is important. Give God what is in your hands. Give God. In verse 38, Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have? What is it that is in your hands?" He said, "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five. And by the way, we picked up two fish as well." What is it that is in your hands? God isn't asking you to give what He may be asking somebody else to give. He says, what is it that you have in your hands that you can give? What is it that you have available? He instructed the disciples to find out how much food the people brought. They went through the crowd of thousands of people. It took a while, I imagine. Not like in the video, okay? It took a while. They went through the crowd. And Andrew is the one who finds a boy with five loaves and two fish. In John 6, verse 8, it says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish." Notice the word small two times. Okay, they're thinking small. He says, there's just five small loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? How far will they go among so many? As far as the disciples are concerned, the little food that they found is not enough. But Jesus wasn't shaken by their lack of faith. He understood them. In many ways, guys, this Rise Up and Build campaign is mirroring the process of this. We are going to make commitments today to see what it is that we have to work with. What it is that is in our hands that we can say to God, this is what we have. God has blessed us in this country. God has blessed my family in this country. We are not rich. We are not wealthy. We have responsibilities. We have our mortgage. We have our four children. We have food and clothing to take care of. We support our church. But God is also calling us to have a part in this. To take a part. To do our part. To open up our hands and say, God, this is what is in my hands. You can have what is in my hand. We've talked before that not too many years ago, the church had a group of about 70 or 80 people. 70 or 80 people. Men, women, and children. And it was with that group that this property was purchased and this building was erected. With 70 or 80 people who were able to say, God, I'm opening up my hands. This is what I have. And you know what God did? He blessed it. He used it. He took what they had and multiplied it. And so today we have our facility here, and yes, we still owe some money. We owe about $110,000 or $20,000 on our property. But God has blessed us. God has blessed us. 70 or 80 people banded together to build what we have today. Just as Jesus told His disciples to ask the people if they had any food, we are seeing what God has given us that we can share. Give God what it is that is in your hands. We see the boy. He gave up all his food. A small boy whose mother was smart enough to pack him a lunch. He was about the only one there that had the smarts, or at least a mother who took care of him, to pack a lunch. And he could have said, hey, this is mine. Hey, I'm responsible at least. I took care of my needs. Why should I have to give up what I have? He could have said, what is five loaves and two fish with so many people? We'll all starve anyway. But he was willing to say, God, I'm giving up what it is that I have. Because he was willing to give it away, surrender his lunch to the Master, everyone ate, including the boy. It is God's plan for us to sacrificially give what a part of what He has blessed us with. And I believe in your hearts, I pray, I trust that this has been something that you have also prayed about. Not flippantly, but you've prayed about this. And God has put something in your heart that He wants you to give. Something that He wants you to give. And the amount that you have in your mind right now was either based upon reason or was based upon revelation. Something that is based upon reason is when you simply just look at what you have and you say, well, this is how much I might be able to afford. I can do this. But giving based on revelation is saying, God, what is it that You, by faith, You want to give through me? What is it that You want to give through me? Another point that I don't want you to misunderstand is that the attitude is more important than the amount. Did you hear me? The attitude is more important than the amount. We have to have a certain amount. Of course we do. But God wants to see what is your heart. What is your attitude? We see Jesus in Mark 12. He was in the temple and He was watching the people bring offerings. And He watched many people, wealthy people, bring large sums. And there was a certain lady that came, a widow. And she came and she put two small coins in the offering. And He made the point of saying to His disciples, you see this woman? She has given far more than anybody else. Why? Because God is looking at something special. He's seeing a woman that is opening her hands and giving what it is that she has in her hands. The others were giving a small drop in their bucket. Giving is to be proportional. If God has blessed you with much, God wants you to give much. That's just the way it works. For example, God tells us all we ought to give a tithe to the church to support the work and the ministry of our church. That's what we ought to do. Does one person give more than another? Not if we all tithe. Do you understand that principle? A person may make $5 million a year and their tithe would be significantly more than my tithe. But they're not giving more. They're not giving more as far as what God has blessed them with. God only expects us to give what it is that we have in our possession to give. What is in our hands. He didn't ask that boy to give more than what he had. But the boy was willing to open his hands up and say, God, You can have what it is that I have. Expect God to multiply what you have given to Him. The lunch fed how many people? 5,000, says specifically men. That leads many to assume there were also women present. And that day they counted the men. There were women present. There were some children present. There were thousands and thousands of people that were fed by this small lunch. The Lord had them sit down in groups on the green grass to obey Jesus' instructions and get the hungry crowds to sit down in groups of 50 and 100. It was a big test of the disciples' faith. Can you imagine that? The disciples are going out organizing these thousands of people into groups of 50 or 100. And they're expecting to be fed. They're waiting for something to happen here. What a test of faith as they began to fulfill the instructions that Jesus told them to do. And we see that Jesus blessed and multiplied that little lunch that was given. The miracle took place in whose hands? Jesus' hands. Not any person's hands. It took place in His hands. And whatever we give Him, He can bless, and He will bless and multiply. I'm expecting God to do a miracle with what we have. I'm expecting Him to take what we have and multiply it for the benefit of others. And I hope that you are too. The same God who used nothing to create everything can use what we have to do great things. And I encourage you today to not hold back. Don't hide what it is that God has given you. Don't think that you can't. Give it to God and watch what He can do with it. I encourage us all as one body to participate in this. And young people, don't think you're exempt. It's not going to get done with you. You don't make much. I encourage you to test God. To test Him. To step out by some faith and say, God, I don't make much, but I want to open up my hands to You as well. It's not much in the big picture. In a budget of $350,000, it's not a lot. But God sees your heart, your willingness. He can take what you have and do so much with that. Would you please stand together with me? Listen, at this time, it's a time for us to, in prayer, fill out our commitments. At the back, there are some ushers. If for some reason you don't have a commitment card or you don't have a pen, I would just ask that you raise your hand. If you know God wants you to participate, would you just raise your hand and an usher will provide you with either a pen or a commitment card if you don't have that. Good point. Go ahead and please sit down so that you can do this better. Habits. Habits. And as I said, our commitment is between you and God. We don't have a place on here for your name. We're not interested in a display of, look what I can do for God or for the church. We simply are encouraging each of us to open our hands up and let God multiply and use what it is that you have in your hand. This is a sacrifice, I know. This is an act of worship. But I hope that your hearts are with me in our vision of what God is doing here, of transforming people's lives through Christ's message. That's what He's called us to do. And if it's going to take a bit of sacrifice on our part, we have to do that. And it is going to take. I think God right now is testing us as well. Like He was testing the apostles, the disciples, when He sent them out to check, what is it that you have? Go and see. Go and see. Make your pledge. And after I pray, and of course, if you're a guest with us today, we do not expect your participation in this. This is for the people who say, IBC is my church home, my church family, and they are the ones that say, I am responsible for this church. We're going to pray in just a moment, and then I'm going to invite you then to stand with me as the song is sung. And I would encourage you, as God leads, to bring your church, your Rise Up and Build pledge, and place it in this beautiful box up here at the front as an act of worship together. Husbands, wives, I'd encourage you to do it together too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, today is indeed a different day. It's a special day. It's a day where I think we as a church can find out what it is that we have, open our hands to You, and let You take what we have and do a good work with it. Multiply it for the benefit of others. Use this, Lord, to do Your work here, that we can expand what we need to do, that we can provide for the needs of our community and our church properly and adequately, that we can continue our vision of transforming lives, that we can provide the needs for our children, our fellowship. Lord, may we not hold back, and may we give in faith, expecting You to do a great miracle with it. I pray, Lord, for each of us that there would be no one, Lord, who thinks that they're not significant enough. I pray for our young people too, Lord, that they would take a part of responsibility in this as well. We trust You now by faith, Lord. Receive our offering, our gratefulness. Receive our pledges, Lord. Take it and multiply it and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? And as we sing, we lift our voices, we lift our hands. Would you come and present your offerings, your pledges to the Lord at this time?
We'll lift our voices. We'll lift our hands. We'll lift our lives up to You. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives. We are You. We are an offering. All that we have. All that we have.
of us. It's a joy to see. Next week we'll be celebrating together our pledges and let you know what they have come to. And I'm excited that God is going to take what we willingly give to Him and bless it and multiply it and do great things. Let's give the Lord a hand, eh? God is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer in just a minute, and I encourage you to stick around for some fellowship.